Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz coming to you from our studios here inside Lambeau Field. And Wes, we'll call this our training camp preview edition. A lot of position competitions to take a look at as training camp gets underway. And the one that jumps out to me the most is that wide receiver. Now, we know Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb are your 1-2 at that position. But as far as who's going to be number three, number four, it's wide open with a ton of candidates. What's your early take on this situation?
Well, first off, welcome back to training camp. Spoff, I hope you enjoyed your summer. It's officially over.
Okay.
but, you know, when you look at the wide receiver competition, this is something we already saw, little snippets of it a little bit during the offseason program. And, you know, the amount of competition that they have, you know, five guys basically all with a legitimate shot at that number three job. One thing that I think makes it the most intriguing is the fact that all those guys really dabbled in it outside of Trevor Davis, the fifth-round rookie. All those guys had a shot at playing with, you know, Randall Cobb a little bit last year and having a role in that offense. Now that you have Jordy Nelson back, who can be the guy that grabs those reins? I'm very interested to see how that plays out. Honestly, for me, I think this is one of the biggest position battles, if not the biggest position battle of camp.
Yeah, I would agree. You look at all of the candidates, a lot of experience, as you said, guys who have had their shot at this role and have produced at different times in the role. Devontae Adams, Ty Montgomery with a strong start to his rookie season before being cut short by injury. Jeff Janis and Jared Aberderis, who both came on strong late last season. The only one sort of in the mix without any NFL experience is rookie Trevor Davis, the fifth-round draft pick.
Who might be the fastest of the bunch.
Yeah, he might. He's certainly a speed burner, no question about it. And the interesting thing here is that not only is this so wide open that any one of these five guys could possibly grab this number three spot, but there's also no guarantee that all five of these guys will be on the 53-man roster at the end of training camp because we don't know how the roster is going to shake out. Now, it's possible the Packers could keep seven receivers, but it would be a pretty unusual move. Do you see this position, this number three receiver spot, as somebody's to lose or as somebody who is the front runner going into it?
Well, first off, Spoff, that's a great point because it is a high-stakes game here. There is really a lot of opportunity for playing time, and there's also some questions about making the 53-man roster.
Yeah,
I do look at it still as Devontae Adams' job to lose when you look at it from the perspective of this is a guy who's played a lot of football in his first two NFL seasons, dealt with a lot of injuries last year, but he showed in 2014 that he could play well in an offense with Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb. You get both of those guys back on the field together, it allows Adams to do what he does well again. And let's keep in mind, he's still a very young man. I believe he's only 23 years old at this point. So,
yeah, and wasn't necessarily fully healthy most of last year.
Right, yeah, and when we did finally get healthy again for that Washington game, had a really productive first half, then injured the knee. So I look at him as the front runner in this. He's probably the most well-rounded of all the candidates. But the intriguing thing is all these guys have different skill sets, whether it's Janis's speed and size, Montgomery's kind of tweener ability, and Jared Aberderis just really been able to build a chemistry with Aaron Rodgers early on. It's, again, it's something that I think is going to really bring out the best in all those guys in camp.
Yeah, and if the Packers do decide potentially to keep as many as seven wide receivers, we've talked about this before from a roster machination standpoint, if you only keep two quarterbacks and if you only keep one fullback in Aaron Ripkowski, right there is two roster spots on the offensive side of the ball that you did not have last year when you had three quarterbacks and two fullbacks on the roster. So that would potentially lend some flexibility if they believe, if Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson and the scouts and the coaches believe that all of these receivers deserve a spot on the 53-man roster. And we've seen over the years how it works here. If you deserve a spot on the 53, it doesn't necessarily come down to how many guys are at each position. They are going to try as best they can to keep the 53 best players, and that's another thing that makes this receiver competition so interesting.
Yeah, and you've seen them go heavy in past years at the tight end position. They did it a little bit with the offensive line last year in keeping nine linebackers. They've been prone to keeping an extra one. But at the receiver position, it has kind of been a game of five or six. The thing is, though, if maybe those five, six, or seven guys can contribute on special teams, which Cobb and Montgomery, all these guys have shown that that's where they start.
Janis certainly has a gunner now.
Yeah, Janis came out of nowhere. Aberderis has returned some punts. That's really, I think, going to be the biggest key here is not only keep them if they would keep seven, but being able to use them. And all indications are there are different ways that they can get these guys involved, whether it is Cobb and Montgomery as, you know, kind of scat running backs, or, you know, Aberderis or some of these guys on special teams.
Yeah, not to discount some of the players behind them, the young crew, a couple of practice squad holdovers in Ed Williams and Jamel Johnson, undrafted rookies Herb Waters and Geronimo Allison. Going to be really tough for those guys to make the roster, but they're going to give it their best shot.
Yeah, and both of those guys, Allison and Waters, I thought flashed during the offseason program.
Yeah,
Allison,
for sure.
6'4", I mean, or 6'3", I should say, but still a really tall, lengthy kid. Waters was ultra productive at Miami. Again, guys that you definitely can't discount when you look at this race.
Yeah. Well, after the break, we'll take a look at another position competition on offense at running back, and we'll be back with that right after this on Packers Unscripted. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, let's shift gears a little bit and talk about the competition at running back. Again, this is a competition for the number three spot. We know Eddie Lacy and James Starks are your 1-2. The difference between running back and wide receiver is the competitors for the number three spot are far less experienced. It's a much younger group than what the Packers have at wide receiver. John Crockett was an undrafted rookie last year from North Dakota State. He flashed a little bit late in the season when he was brought up from the practice squad to the active roster. But there are some other young guys behind him. So what's your early take on this situation?
Well, again, when we talked like in the last segment about the receiver position, there being kind of the high stakes sort of game there. With the number three job, there's really not so much of an opportunity, at least you would think from the get-go, of playing time at running back. It would take a series of injuries. It would take an instance like DeJuan Harris had in 2012. But at the same time, it's an intriguing position because the Packers put a lot of value in it. And you see last year the competition that was brewing between all those guys. Now you have Crockett back. He did, as you mentioned, get elevated late last season, played well in the Detroit game. But Mike McCarthy also mentioned after the season that the redshirt year is over. He has to make another step, trying to find a comfortable weight for him to play at. They want to put a little bit more mass on him. We'll get a chance to see in camp if he was able to accomplish that. But he does flash, and he had a lot of productivity at college. Now can he translate it to the NFL?
Right, and for Crockett, it's also about trying to find a role and some productivity on special teams.
Right.
Because as a bell cow running back, as a workhorse running back, excuse me, in college, he didn't play a lot of special teams. So the special teams side of it is new to him in the NFL. Now, a couple of other undrafted rookies brought in this year, Brandon Burks from Troy and Brandon Ross from Maryland, who was signed actually after the offseason program was over. He's the most recent addition to the team. So he'll have some catching up to do, certainly in the playbook and all of that. Don Jackson from Nevada was released just before the start of training camp, so the position thinned out a little bit. Do you, other than Crockett, what do you know about these other two, the running backs from Troy and Maryland, or is it just too early to tell them? We have to see what they have to offer on the field.
Well, we certainly have to see what they have to offer because we really didn't see, other than Crockett, we didn't really see a lot of the UFA running backs during the offseason program. When you look specifically, though, at Ross, the fourth leading rusher in Maryland's history, played much, you know, a very consistent role for him. He didn't have, like, one giant season like Crockett did as a senior, but he was really consistent. So how can he make that kind of fit now in a Packers offense to maybe gain an impression? Everything that I heard and understand about Ross is that he was a really good running back in sort of an okay, you know, kind of Terrapins offense. So
yeah.
Now what can he do when he gets maybe an opportunity to go behind maybe a better offensive line and some better weapons?
Yeah, certainly. And I think there are two possibilities, and I stress possibilities, that we have to look at here with this number three running back position. One is that the number three running back for the Packers in 2016 may not be on the roster yet.
Absolutely.
There's always a chance that another young running back from another team flashes in the preseason, really shows some promise, maybe outshines the guys the Packers have, and when the preseason ends, if that player is released and on waivers, the Packers make a claim and see what that player can do here. The other possibility, and you and I have talked about this a little bit, there's always a chance the Packers won't even keep three running backs. When you have the backfield ability of Randall Cobb and Ty Montgomery at the receiver position to shift them back there if you get in a pinch with Lacy and Starks or an issue there, that may be another roster spot the Packers want to save if they don't feel the players they have here are worthy of a roster spot. So a lot of different possibilities as to how this could shake out. There's really no way to predict it at this point.
No, and the Packers also haven't been shy about, since they had extended the practice squads to 10 guys, they haven't been shy about keeping two or three running backs, whatever you want to call them, on the practice squad too. But as you said, the waiver wire doesn't happen every year. It's very sporadic, but Ted Thompson did use that to get John Kuhn in Green Bay.
Yeah, and he back in 2007.
And became a 10-year fullback, you know, multiple-time Pro Bowler. So while that isn't a running back position, it kind of gives you an idea of the options that they have. And you and I talked about this too. I mean, you look at the guys. I mentioned DeJuan Harris, Tony Fisher, Sam Congato, Whisper Goodman, Tyrell Sutton. The list goes on and on of guys who nobody knew about when they came in as UFAs and slowly made a name for themselves. We'll have to see if any of the guys are capable of that this year.
Yeah. And quickly, let's touch on another competition on special teams at punter. Veteran Tim Maste is being challenged this year by rookie Peter Mortel, a local kid from Green Bay, played his high school football just down the road at Green Bay Notre Dame Academy, went to the University of Minnesota and had a productive career there. You covered Peter Mortel when he was in high school here locally. What do you know about him, and what can you say about this competition?
Always had a big leg and a big personality, too, if you follow him on social media. but went over to Minnesota, was a walk-on there, earned his scholarship, I think, after his sophomore season, and really became an extremely productive player for them, all Big Ten punter during his career. And now comes in and faces this competition against Tim Maste. Last year, you and I discussed it with Cody Mendel. That competition didn't really last very long.
No, it was over before it started, practically.
Yeah. So I think with the five preseason games this year, with what the Packers want to see, getting a taste of Mortel a little bit in the offseason program, I can see that this is a competition that's going to stretch out this summer.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Peter Mortel, a guy whose name is in a few spots in the Minnesota record books. Tim Maste has his name all over the Packers record books with his productive six seasons. Maste, his big thing, he told me in the offseason, it's about eliminating that maybe one bad punt per game that comes up. It's about the consistency level, because overall his statistics, everything is solid. It's all there. But that one bad punt can be really costly, especially if it's at the wrong time in the game, and that's where he has to fix things.
Yeah, and also with them kind of switching his directional punting style, it's something that does favor Mortel. It's something he did a lot at Minnesota. Can Tim Maste really harness that this year and try to improve in that area?
Yeah, a lot to watch with the punters in training camp. And we'll come back after the break and talk a little bit about a competition on defense, and we'll be back with that on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, switching to the defensive side of the ball, I think the competition with the most eyes on it in training camp will be at inside linebacker. You have Sam Barrington coming back from a season-ending injury last year. Jake Ryan, the fourth-round pick out of Michigan last year, moving into his second season after taking over a starting job at the tail end of 2015. And then Blake Martinez, fourth-round draft pick out of Stanford, joining the mix this year. Three guys, essentially for two spots. You have your different packages, base, nickel, dime, and whatnot. What's your early prognosis on this one?
Well, the thing that's really the thing I'm going to look at the most is the Packers used Clay Matthews in that role for the last year and a half. And what that allowed them to do, in addition to getting a Pro Bowl caliber inside linebacker, it also afforded them a chance to sort of rebuild at inside linebacker a little bit. They had a year to get, you know, Jake Ryan seasoned. Now you bring in Blake Martinez, two guys, when you look at both of them, extremely productive tackling machines in college, and now trying to cement themselves in the NFL. I think that's one of the things. Dom Capers likes experience at that position, and by having Matthews inside, I think that allowed them to bring along Jake Ryan at a more comfortable pace.
Yeah, and I think Ryan potentially would have stepped in as a starter earlier in his rookie season had he not had a hamstring issue a couple of weeks into the regular season. Then he missed a couple of weeks of practice. And when that happens with a rookie, that's a lot of valuable time that needs to be made up. So he wasn't able to get into the starting lineup until later. The biggest key, I think, is for Dom Capers to have options at inside linebacker, because you can't be one injury away from having to put Clay Matthews back inside and not having another choice. And that's essentially the position the Packers were in last year when Barrington got hurt in week one in Chicago and then was done for the season. So you have options. The dime, there's only one inside linebacker generally on the field, and it's usually your faster guy, a coverage inside linebacker. The base, you want the run stoppers. The nickel, you need that combination of a run stopper and a pass coverage guy. These three guys, I think, if they stay healthy and if Barrington gets back healthy, you know, having missed so much time, these three guys could really give Dom Capers the choices he needs.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. And also, you can't forget about Joe Thomas, who played a lot of dime linebacker for them last year, didn't make the roster, actually ended up on Dallas's practice squad and was brought back after Barrington's injury. Now, Barrington's starting the season on the PUP list. We'll have to see exactly where things shuffle out with him, but I thought last year he was going to have a big role in this defense, and he was going to be a focal point of it. It looked like he was going to fill that dime linebacker role. Where exactly does he shuffle out? But to your point, Blake Martinez, I thought, said it better than anybody this offseason. It's on those inside linebackers to prove that they can handle that dime responsibility. Teams have trended. They want to use these hybrid defensive backs, the Dwayne Buchanans of the world, in those roles because they can match up better. These inside linebackers, not just in Green Bay, but in this time in the NFL, need to prove that they can handle those coverage responsibilities. Jake Ryan talked to you about it. He feels like he's faster. Blake Martinez feels like it's a position that suits him well. And now they're going to let camp, you know, kind of decide how that's going to play out.
Yeah, offensive coordinators are going for those matchups. If they can match up a tight end or a running back in the passing game on an inside linebacker where they feel they have an edge in speed or size, whatever it may be, that's where they're you know, going after defenses. And you mentioned Jake Ryan. He feels faster. He sort of leaned up, trimmed up his body for his second season. He's still at the same roughly 240 pounds, but he said, you know, he wasn't the kind of 240 he wanted to be last year. He is now. So I think there's definitely some progress that can be made there. We mentioned Barrington. He needs to get healthy. And Blake Martinez, as a rookie, certainly smart enough coming from Stanford to learn Dom Capers' playbook, and I'm really interested to see how quickly he assimilates himself into those different packages.
I do like that phrase from Ryan, too, because there is a difference. I mean, I would like to be a different type of 170. I mean, honestly, though, because, I mean, you look at it, there are ways to get cleaner weight on you, and as you observed, I think that happened with him.
Yep.
Blake Martinez is just the machine. The guy doesn't eat sweets or anything, puts himself in a good physical position, and, you know, that... These guys, they're going to get their best in camp, and it'll be interesting and fun to watch it play out.
Yeah, definitely. Well, after the break, we'll come back and talk about a young Packers defensive lineman with an interesting off-season story, and we'll be back with that on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, our final segment today, Christian Ringo, young defensive lineman, sixth-round draft pick last year, spent the season on the practice squad. You found out very recently that he had a little heroic story to tell. Why don't you relate that story to us?
Yeah, it was really fun. You know, these are the kind of things when they work out this way, it's fun, I should say. Luis Rodriguez, big Packer fan down in Houston, Texas, just coincidentally came across Christian Ringo in a wave pool. And Rodriguez was having a little trouble. I think he admits he was really struggling, drowning, I guess is the more
Didn't typical. Follow the safety rules. Didn't no life jacket.
No life jacket. So it was really having a hard time. Ringo comes swimming over, grabs the guy, pulls him back towards the shallow end, throws his life preserver on him and pushes him away, lets him float away back into the pool. But afterwards, the two meet up. And one, Ringo didn't realize that Luis was wearing a Packers shirt. And two, Luis didn't realize that Christian Ringo plays for the Packers. So a really fun sort of development between them, and obviously a nice kind of heartwarming story a little bit when you can just coincidentally happen across another Packers fan and a Packers player in Houston, Texas, and to Ringo be there, you know, right when he needs to be to help Luis out.
Yeah, well, and there's a little bit of a backstory here, too, that when Christian Ringo was younger as a teenager, he had to do sort of the same thing with his younger brother in a pool one time.
Yeah, his little brother Isaiah, who I think is about 7 or 8 years younger than him, they went to a friend's house. Ringo agreed to let him come along and told him, you got to stay on the steps. Whatever you do, stay on the steps. And as he tells it, 5 seconds, he turns around. Next thing you know, he turns back, and all he can see are Isaiah's hands in the water. Dives in there, throws him up in the air, and helped him out there. So it was a little bit of a precursor, maybe a little bit of experience that played in there, being able to be the lifeguard for a day.
Yeah.
Houston.
Well, and Christian Ringo doesn't want to make a career as a lifeguard. No. He wants to make a career as a Green Bay Packers football player. And this is a big training camp, excuse me, for the young defensive lineman, as I mentioned, spent last season on the practice squad. When he was drafted, it was thought he was maybe another Mike Daniels type. He's short. Short arms, not tall, but plenty of size, plenty of strength, a lot of leverage on the interior of the defensive line. Now, Mike Daniels is a rising star in this league, so we don't throw that on Christian Ringo just yet. But he's got a chance now to earn a spot on the 53-man roster his second time around.
Yeah, and he's put a lot of work in this offseason to get himself to what he feels is a position to capitalize on this opportunity, because there are a lot of question marks on that defensive line and a lot of opportunity for those positions. Now, can he really come in and capitalize is going to be the biggest question. As he said, the hay's in the barn at this point. He's put in all the work he could to get himself ready for the second chance, and he wants to make the most of it.
Yeah, Mike Turgovac, a solid developer of young linemen as well as a position coach. So, well, that's a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team and training camp on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford. At Packers for the team account. Thanks for watching, everybody, and we'll see you next time.